Amen. Take your Bible tonight, please. Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14 tonight. It's good to be back with you. Morning Star. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to come back and be with you one more time. And then real good tonight to have my wife and daughter with me. They're not able to travel as much with me anymore, and it's always a joy. They'll be with me this week. Then I got to leave for a meeting next Monday, and they'll be with me that week as well. And about 2 weeks in a row is about all we can stand of each other. And I'm ready to send them back. They're ready to get rid of me. And but anyway, it's a real joy to have them with us tonight. I'm hoping one night during the week I'll get them to sing for you. I enjoy hearing them. I tell you what, yesterday, and of course you won't get her to do this, but my wife wrote a song for Mother's Day, put the music to it, the whole nine yards, and she did it yesterday, and I was absolutely amazed. I thought, man alive, that was good. And my daughter sings with her, and they do a pretty good job. So maybe one night before it's over, I'll get them to sing for you. My daughter looked at me a while ago and said, I don't want to sing tonight. So maybe she's backslid. I don't know, been doing something I don't know about, whatever. But anyway, it's good to have them with us in the service tonight. Brother Jim, good to see you and your wife tonight. Been a long time. And I remember preaching revival years and years ago up at Little Elkin Baptist Church up in there. And I remember that very well. Remember that little lady made those cat head biscuits right down the road from there. And y'all took me to eat there one time. And, of course, I've been eating ever since. Amen. But anyway, remember that. Brother Jackie, good to see you. We had a tremendous revival meeting over there in March. And thank God for what God did. He and his church had a great time. A lot of folks here at Morningstar come over and helped us. And just a real joy to be able to be back with you tonight. Matthew chapter number 14, you find your place in the Word of God. Let's stand together. We're going to begin reading at verse number 24 of Matthew chapter number 14. Appreciate the good number here on a Monday night. Good to see the house of God full tonight. Thank you for coming. And just ask God to help us tonight. Brother, if you could help me in the sound room a little bit tonight. My voice is going to be kind of raspy. If you could help me just a little bit, I'd appreciate it. It'll get better as the week goes on, but Sunday's a busy day. And you'd help me. I appreciate that. Preacher, it's good to see one of your deacons back there. I believe I see him, but yeah, it is. And I know when I was down at Brother Jackie's, he'd have a lot of health trouble. And brother, listen, we missed you. I want you to know that. Glad he's doing better. I believe he had pneumonia back then, if I'm not mistaken. Just a joy to see him back there tonight, buddy. We love you. Every time we ride by that battery place, think about him. Pray for him. But I appreciate him. Glad to see him back there tonight. Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 24 tonight. The Bible said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. Listen, I believe with all my heart that day that two great things happened in this passage of the Word of God. One of them was is that the Lord Jesus came walking to them in the middle of a storm, and he was able to calm the storm in their life. That was a great thing that happened. And then something else that happened in this chapter that was equally as great was that Peter got out of the boat and was the first man beside the Lord that ever walked on water. And some people say, well, Peter might have walked, but he started to sink. I asked one fellow one time, I said, you can't start to sink till you started walking on it. Amen? I'd rather be somebody out of the boat doing something for God than to be somebody in the boat criticizing everybody that's out of the boat. Amen? Anyway, I was reading this one time in a personal Bible study, and just about a month or so ago, God spoke to my heart about a message out of this chapter that I want to deal with tonight. Walking on water with man is an impossibility. Would you agree to that? If you don't believe that's the case, you find you a lake around here somewhere, get you a boat, get out in the middle of it, step out of that boat in the middle of that lake. I promise you, you better be able to swim. You're probably not going to do good walking on water. Amen? It's an impossibility with man. Brother Hazem, do you believe that Peter walked on water? Absolutely. You know why? Because the Bible said he did. I believe that. Hey, I'm just one of them preachers that believes the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? And I believe God put it in the Bible and in the canon of Scripture in order for us to draw a truth from it, and we're going to draw that tonight from the Word of God. I want to preach tonight with the help of God on this thought. If we're going to have revival, if we're going to see God move, if you're going to see God do things in your life, if you're going to see God answer prayer, you're going to have to do what I'm preaching tonight. I want to preach tonight on attempting the impossible. Attempting the impossible. Or believing God for what you cannot see. Somebody help me now. Believing God for the impossible, or attempting with God those things that you cannot even see. In this building tonight, everybody look up at me just a moment. In this building tonight, there are those in this auditorium that are either facing things in your life, dealing with things in your life, or wanting to do things in your life that the devil has told you will never happen. That's an impossibility. It can't come to pass. Friend, I want you to know tonight that the devil is a liar, and that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you even ask or think. Amen. Father, I pray tonight you'll bless the Word of God. Use it tonight for your glory. Father, help me to give to these people what you gave to me. And that, Lord, we'll be leaving this place tonight with our faith encouraged and believing you for the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Several things I want to share with you, that I want to give you 3 points in this passage tonight, that if you will listen to them and that you will do them, I'm convinced tonight that you can see the impossible done in your life. Now, there's a few things I want to share with you as a way of introducing the message I think you'll enjoy. I looked up some things one time on people that were told they could never do something. And I'll never forget, and I'll throw this in. When I first started preaching, and I hadn't been pastoring long, and I was on the radio one day, and buddy, I was preaching just like then. I knew how. I was in my early 20s and getting started, and the church was excited, and I was excited. And I was on the radio, and I was preaching wide open. And I had a phone call from a pastor in that area, some man much older than I was, and I didn't know much about who he was. But when he called me, here's what he said. He said, "Son, I want to let you know you're doing some good preaching." Now, you've ever heard somebody make a statement to you, but you knew there was a but coming? Yeah, you know, I mean, somebody will say something to you, you know, and it's kind of good, but you know there's something coming. He said, "Son, I want you to know now how you're doing some good preaching." Then he said, "But I also want you to know this." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "And I want you to know that in the day we're living in today, you cannot build a church today with that kind of preaching." He said, "People won't come and listen anymore to that kind of preaching." I said, "Sir, I appreciate you letting me know that, but I've already made up my mind. If God can't get it done this way, then God can't get it done anyway." Amen. Hey, you know what I found out? I found out there's a crowd out here that's tired of having their ears tickled, that's tired of walking into the First Baptist of the deep freeze, pastored by Jack Frost, and some people are looking for a place somewhere where God's at and the glory's at and the power's at, and friend, God honors it. Amen. And this pastor will tell you, if you ever stop by Statesville, North Carolina, and you probably won't get arrested, I promise you, when we go to church, we have church. Amen? I promise you that. Now listen, here's some things I've run across I think you'll really enjoy. Hey, listen to this. Einstein could not speak. Now, y'all have heard of Albert Einstein, right? A lot of you have probably been told you're not an Einstein. I have anyway. Einstein could not speak,
until he was 4 years old and did not read until he was seven. Listen to this. Beethoven's music teacher said about him, as a composer, he is hopeless. He said that about Beethoven. Smart guy, huh? When Thomas Edison was a young boy, his teacher said he was so stupid he could never learn anything. Now Thomas Edison can say to them, I'll leave the light on for you. Amen? When Duff W. Woolworth was 21 years old, and y'all remember them Woolworth stores? I still remember going into Woolworth at the soda fountain and getting me an R.C. Cola and a moon pie and sitting down with my grandpa. I still remember that in them Woolworth stores. At that time, it was inside of the Roses store, and I still remember that. Listen to this. Woolworth was told when he was 21 and got a job in a store, but was not allowed to wait on customers because he didn't have enough sense to do it. Walt Disney was once fired by a newspaper editor because he was thought to have no good ideas. Amen. And then I really like this one. In the ninth grade, Michael Jordan was cut by a basketball coach because he didn't think he had any talent. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be the basketball coach that cut Michael Jordan, that became a star at the greatest university in the whole country, the University of North Carolina, and then with the Chicago Bulls and all that he did, wouldn't you like to be the coach that said, well, I didn't think he had any talent. Amen. You know what Michael Jordan said after he was cut? He made his mind up that he was going to be the best there could be. He wasn't going to let anybody tell him it couldn't be done, and he practiced and he worked and he got better, and I believe he's the best ball player probably that's ever laced on tennis shoes. You say why? Because he believed he could do the impossible. Amen. Now don't you listen to me tonight. I got to get all the Gamecock fans back. Amen. Y'all's all with me on preaching. I made that university thing and some of y'all just went, "Boo!" You just kind of died on me. All right? Listen, we need to learn that we can do the impossible, but we also need to find out how we can. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I appreciate those of you praying for revival. I'm glad you've been praying. And I appreciate folk that want to see God do something in the church, and I'm glad. But can I tell you this, and I'm going to be honest, revival is a supernatural work of God. If we have revival, it won't be the preacher you got here, it won't be the church you have, it won't necessarily be the pastor you have, but if God sends revival to this church, it'll be a sovereign work of a holy God where God sends revival, and it'll be impossible to see it unless God does it. Amen. Oh, listen, we can have an emotional stir. We can get tickled. We can get excited. We can even get help. But if we really have revival, friend, it'll be a sovereign word of a holy God that sends revival to you and I. Now, let's go back to our passage just a moment tonight. And I want to give you a few things out of chapter 14 tonight about attempting the impossible. Now, the Bible says that when Peter saw the Lord, and he said to the Lord, and I paraphrase, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you, or let me come to you on the water. And what happened was, it's that Peter stepped out of the boat, and he began to walk on water, and he began to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness, what it was must have been for everybody to look at him and to realize that Peter is walking on water. Now, I'm getting ready to ask you a question tonight, and I want you to think about it during this entire message. Here's the question tonight. When's the last time that you saw God do something in your life that you knew had to be God and there was no way that man could have done it? When's the last time you saw God do something when you know it had to be God? You couldn't put man's hand on it. Man couldn't have worked it out. It had to be God. Friend, I tell you what, there's been a few times in my life when somewhere standing in the shadows, Brother Jackie, God showed up. There's been a few times in my life when I thought there's no way this is going to happen. There's no way this is going to be done. And then out of nowhere, God showed up and God did the impossible. Amen. Now I want to show you a little bit in the Word of God tonight about how you can see the impossible done in your life. Look at verses 26 and 27 tonight. The Bible says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, They were troubled, saying, "Is a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Say, "Brother Chris, how can I see God do the impossible in my life?" First of all, faith must prevail over fear. Faith must prevail over fear. Friend, if you never in your life believe that God can, you'll never see God do it. If we walk in fear and believe it'll never happen, you don't believe that's true in most of us? How many times have you heard people pray and they prayed something like this, "Lord, I pray you do this or do that." And even before they get done, they'll make a statement like this, "But God, if it's not your will, and God, if it's not, give me the grace." You know what I believe we're doing? I believe we're already making a scapegoat and a way out, and we're already doubting, friend, that God could ever do what God said He could do. But can I say something to you tonight? If you ever get past your fear and realize you serve a holy God and a God that's big and a God that's able, there is nothing too hard for God. Amen. Do you realize tonight you serve the same God of Abraham and the same God of Isaac? You realize tonight you serve the same God that parted that Red Sea for Moses? You serve the same God that brought Lazarus out of a grave? You serve the same God that put the stars in the sky and the planets on rotation? Honey, God has not changed. He's the same tonight. He's always been. Our faith must prevail over our fear. Faith must prevail over fear. And too many times in our life, we just simply don't see God do the impossible because of fear. Because we're afraid to trust Him. Because we say, "Lord, I'm scared." And listen, every one of us have been there. Every one of us have had fear in our heart. Every one of us have had fear sometime in our life when we began to do something in our life. And friend, the only way to get by that fear is faith. That's the only way. Friend, do you realize tonight, you and I can say this, that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hey, how many of you believe tonight that you serve a God that can do anything? Say amen. How many of you believe tonight that He is the great physician? Say amen. He's a mender of hearts. Friend, He is the one that's able to do anything, but our fear can stop us from stepping out of that boat. Fear must prevail, or faith must prevail over fear. And I see so many people many times in their life never see what they could see God do because of fear. Oh, I'm afraid to take that Sunday school class because it may not grow. I'm afraid to take a bus route because it may not work. Or I'm afraid to step out and do something for God because I might fail. Friend, I promise you this, if you do something for God, you probably will fail somewhere down the line. But I can honestly say this, though I fail the Lord, thank God He has never